Hello and welcome to Here and Now, the Dawlish and Tynemouth area talking newspaper. Today's date is Friday, 19th of April 2024. I am Fran Frank and today I will be leading the blue team. Let's meet our first reader.
Hello, I'm Nev Pope.
Welcome, Nev. Nice to see you again. So, moving to this week's headlines from the Dawlish Gazette. More than 100 treated in 6 days. More than 100 people have already been treated in just 6 days since the minor injuries unit at Dawlish reopened. Nursing bosses say that is the number of patients they have been able to treat since April the 2nd, when the facility was able to open again after 4 years. Patients have been treated for various injuries and illnesses, including sprains and minor burns. The details were revealed at an official opening event attended by Chairman of Torbay and South Devon Healthcare Trust, Sir Richard Ibbotson, MP Anne Marie Morris, the Mayor of Dawlish, Rosie Dawson, and Associate Director of Nursing, Lisa Houlihan. Organising the event were the Friends of Dawlish Hospital, which has been at the forefront of campaigning for the unit to reopen. Chairman of the Friends, Jeff King, who spearheaded the determined campaign to get the unit open, said, "I am pleased to see it back open for the community and doing what it was intended to do. People talk about cost, but we should concentrate on giving value. Avoiding accident and emergencies saves the NHS money. But above that, this is treating people locally, avoiding worries about transport and lengthy waits in continued discomfort, and that is priceless. I look forward to the capacity returning to the 7 days a week, as was originally commissioned 10 years ago." Sir Richard said, "It has been a real battle to get this unit reopened, and we were well aware how important it is, and we apologise to the community. Now it is staffed correctly to be able to open it on an enduring way. It is great that it has been quite actively used already. The booking idea has worked in Totnes, which indicates that it should work here. Now we are ready and prepared for the increase in footfall as we near the summer months. The reopening was celebrated with a ribbon cutting and a specially made cake. The unit, which opened 10 years ago, closed in 2020 when staff were redeployed due to the pandemic. But NHS bosses have since struggled with recruitment." Lisa explained this was due to the skilled nature of the staffing required to operate a minor unit injuries. Minor injuries unit. Right way round. "This is a specific role which requires specific skills. Staff have to work on their own to assess, treat, and discharge patients, so they need particular training, the right experience, and the confidence to do so. We needed to recruit staff with that skill set, which has taken longer than we thought. The unit is now open Monday to Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. on an appointment basis. The priority service means people are able to call 01626 895 203 and book appointments for the same day. Walk-in visitors will be supported, but appointments will be prioritised, so patients may have to be redirected. Staff are able to treat a range of conditions, including soft tissue injuries, limb injuries, soft tissue infections, wounds such as bites and stings, lacerations requiring sutures, foreign bodies in eyes and ears, and minor illnesses such as tonsillitis, ear infections, and female urinary tract infections. Sorry about that. There's a lot to list there. There's a number of very nice pictures. One actually shows one of the nurses cutting this rather impressive cake that has the MIU 2024 on the top and what looks like a graph going all the way round. It's obviously a heartbeat, I think. And then we have a picture of the actual sort of opening happening at the doorway.
The plug has been pulled on an overbearing and alien electricity substation planned for the outskirts of Exeter. Teignbridge Council's planning committee rejected the plan unanimously, despite being warned that hundreds of new homes being built would rely on it. Devon County Council and the National Grid applied to build a substation at Matford Home Farm to support a large housing development on the southeast of the city between Alphington and Exminster. Existing buildings would be demolished to make way for the structure. Hundreds of properties have already been built, and many more are in the pipeline, but electricity capacity is not sufficient to support the full development of 2,500 homes around Matford. Now, you would have thought they would have got the planning permission for the station before the homes were built. The applicants wanted the new substation to be up and running in 2026, providing power for homes with heat pumps and charging for electric vehicles. But people living nearby raised fears over potential flooding, noise and light pollution. Teignbridge planners were due to decide in January, only for their meeting to be halted by a late move by the applicants to have the Secretary of State look at the issue. This time, they heard from lawyer Neil Bromwich for the National Grid, who suggested alternative sites at Peamore and Marsh Barton were not feasible. The former because it would cost an extra £10 million and cause significant environmental damage, and the latter because it's on a floodplain. Any alternative could take years to plan and deliver, he said, and by 2029 the resilience of the power network could be compromised, leading to delays in building much-needed new homes. But Exminster Parish Council objected to the plans.
Charities benefit from quiz. Seven charities have benefited directly from Dawlish Water Rotary Club's mega quiz held last month. Other charities will be supported during the Rotary year as the quiz raised an amazing £3,000. The seven prize-winning teams nominated the following charities and good causes to receive their prize money: Hennock Community Primary School, Ames, the Brain Tumour Charity CEDA, Neuroblastoma, Teignbridge Homeless Action Today, and the Rowcroft Hospice. There was a tie for first place between the Polk Arms and the Swan Inn, and they each received £100 and will share the Heavytree Brewery Trophy. There was also a tie for the largest number of players in the team between the Artichoke and the Marine Tavern in Dawlish. They each received £50. Finally, three teams came joint third: the Anchor at Cockwood, the Cridford Inn, and the Shipwright's Arms.
Shoppers at Tesco in Kingstainton are being encouraged to help an in-store fundraising campaign to support medical research into food allergies. For the fifth year running, from April the 22nd to the 28th, Tesco stores are working with the Natasha Allergy Research Foundation, the UK's food allergy charity, to help raise awareness and support clinical research into food allergies. 10 pence from every own brand free from product bought by Kingstainton shoppers in store or online will be contributed to the charity. The scheme will also provide customers with the opportunity to round up their shopping at self-service tills throughout the week. All money raised from the campaign will help Natasha's Foundation to continue its research into reducing the risks of food allergies and further developments into the management of allergies. As well as raising money, the campaign also aims to increase awareness in Kingstainton and the surrounding area about the importance of understanding food allergies and highlighting ingredients in food, which can cause allergic reactions. Natasha's foundation was founded in 2019 by Tanya and Nadim Ednan Laperouse, following the death of their daughter Natasha, who sadly had a fatal allergic reaction, can you believe it, to a baguette that contained sesame seeds that were not listed on the packaging. Tanya Ednan Laperouse, OBE, said, "We're absolutely thrilled Tesco is supporting us for the fifth year running. Allergen awareness is so important, and money raised in previous years has helped to fund clinical research exploring the management of food allergies."
Dawlish fly tipper brought to justice. A fly tipper who dumped waste in Dawlish has been successfully prosecuted. Teignbridge District Council brought a successful prosecution on a large amount of fly-tipped rubbish on the pavement in Westcliff Road, Dawlish, in June 2022. The defendant, Nolan Foyle, had attended Newton Abbot magistrates previously and pleaded not guilty. He elected to have the matter heard in the Crown Court, at which he then pleaded guilty to depositing controlled waste or knowingly causing or knowingly permitting controlled waste to be deposited without an environmental permit. The household waste, which the landlord had dumped after he evicted a tenant, included a sofa, cushions, table, drawers, white goods, and other items. And the offence was witnessed by a number of local residents who came forward and reported it. Mr. Foley was fined £500 for the offence and ordered to pay the council's costs for removal of the waste, which came to £458. Teignbridge District Council has also increased the fines for fly tipping, which can now be up to £1,000 depending on the size of the tip. When reporting fly tipping, any of the following information you can supply would be helpful to the council: a description of the person fly tipping, seems a bit obvious, the date and time the fly tipping was seen, including the time the offence started and finished, details of where you were at the time, details of any other witnesses with you, and a description, and hopefully registration number, of any vehicle involved.
Ooh, have to have a big notebook, wouldn't you? A deal that would see significant decision-making powers and funding move to Devon and Torbay from Whitehall has received mixed responses from Devon residents in a recent public consultation. The devolution plans would see the creation of a Devon and Torbay Combined County Authority, a CCA, which would make decisions on areas such as jobs and skills, housing and the environment. When asked, "To what extent do you agree or disagree with the proposal to maximise our economic potential through the Devon and Cornwall CCA?" 44% of those responding to the public consultation said they disagreed, while 43% said they agreed. The public consultation garnered nearly 900 responses from individuals and a range of organisations, including district councils, town and parish councils, and representatives from the business, education and skills, housing, transport, health service providers and the voluntary sectors. In addition to online consultations, 31 roundtable meetings were held across Devon and Torbay, attended by more than 700 people. Despite the mixed views, Devon County Council is likely to recommend the draft proposal when its cabinet meets on Monday, April the 22nd. Torbay Council will also meet before the end of the month to decide whether to submit a final proposal for the Devon and Torbay CCA to the Secretary of State. Last month, Teignbridge councillors labelled the move to a CCA as a nasty and dangerous move, amid fears that district councils might lose out as the Devon and Torbay Unitary Authority takes control. Following the public consultation, Devon County Council concedes that for devolution to work well for the 1 million or so residents across Devon and Torbay, the task in hand will require all levels of government across the two areas, county and unitary, city, district and borough, and town and parish councils, to work much more closely together. How we work across our existing local government structure and with our partners is key to how this will work, said Councillor John Hart, leader of Devon County Council. Cabinet members at the Devon and Torbay councils this month will be told that it's critically important that Devon's district councils have a voice in the Devon and Torbay CCA and the ability to influence its work. The CCA now proposes that Devon City, District and Borough Councils, the Devon Association of Local Councils representing Devon's Town and Parish Councils, the County Council and the two National Park Authorities will all sit as part of one formal team Devon Joint Committee to offer its collective voices in the CCA. District councils and housing associations will also work with Torbay Council's housing function and the CCA to accelerate delivery of more housing across Devon and Torbay. District Council will also be involved in creating a joint strategic transport plan for Devon and Torbay so that land use and housing plan areas align to transport plans and sustainable transport options. A draft constitution that would set out how the CCA would be governed is due to be considered by Devon and Torbay councils in September.
Bridge lifting for new Link Road. A 26-metre bridge was due to have been lifted into place as part of a multi-million pound link road in Dawlish, aimed at opening up more land for development. Contractors working on phase one of the project to link the A379 to Secmutton Farm had been expected to take 2 days to bring the span bridge into position. It is part of the scheme which also involves 110 metres of carriageway on an embankment including footways and cycleways. A further 360 metres of carriageway with a width of 6 metres will also be built. Weather permitting, contractors were hoping that the manoeuvre would go ahead on Tuesday and Wednesday. Wait for the weather. Engineers have been preparing the site. Piling has been completed and reinforced concrete has been poured. The bridge has been delivered in sections to be assembled on site by the contractors Montel Civil Engineering. It was to be lifted into position by a 500-ton crane. That's going to be a big crane, isn't it? The work had been due to take place in mid-February, but has been delayed. The bridge lift is part of the wider scheme to open up access for further land for additional housing. Residents and local councillors have been campaigning for the link road to improve access and improve traffic through Dawlish for many years before the project was given the go-ahead. Devon County Council and Teignbridge Council are working together on the design and management of the scheme, which is west of the A379 at Shutterton. In 2019, Teignbridge District Council was awarded £4.9 million via Homes England towards the provision of the new bridge and a section of new road linking the A379 at Sainsbury's roundabout to Elm Grove Road. The Government Capital Grant Programme helps deliver new infrastructure in areas of greatest housing demand. The road scheme will provide direct access to more than 400 new homes at Secmutton Farm and Swan Park in Dawlish. It will also allow access to approximately 400 additional homes at Gatehouse Farm. Work on the whole scheme began in September 2023.
Sue Lavender welcomed 19 members and one visitor to our monthly meeting on April at the Manor House. This is Dawlish WI. We had no birthdays this month, so proceeded to sing Jerusalem. Sue went through the various items of business before we heard from our speaker, Anne Walker, MBE, from Dance International. Now, I find this article quite interesting because several years ago, I used to dance quite regularly at Danceworks Devon, who had a link with this lady and
I
her
know.
Company.
That's where you and I first met now.
Yeah, there we go. Do you still go there?
No, I haven't.
I must go again. Make me fit. Anyway, Anne Walker's talk was entitled My Entrepreneurial Journey. We were told that she started as a dance teacher when she was 17 and then opened Harlequin Dancewear. Her mum was very good at making the costumes as she wanted all the students dressed the same. They made leotards for gym, majorettes and dancing. Elmhurst Dance School was their first contract. Anne was told, you can't grow bigger than your dreams, and always remember that. She employed 80 to 100 people in the end and wanted to have a global dominance of dance costumes. Her mum lent her £50 for an industrial sewing machine, and they first started in a small unit on the Shutterton Industrial Estate in Dawlish and quickly moved to another larger property nearby. They outgrew that and finally moved to Ford Industrial Estate in Newton Abbot. The company initially started with 3 employees who actually still work there, albeit in different roles. They outgrew that building in 2 years and managed to build another next to it, but it's 3 stories, and they sell through mail order. The costumes were initially black or blue nylon, but are now made in a choice of 100 colours and made in lycra. Darcy Bustle has a range in her name and also the Royal Ballet School. The company also now exports to Europe, and Anne wanted to break into America, which isn't easy. They joined the trade body in America and launched with the British Council. Eventually, the American Ballet Theatre asked her to make their costumes for them. Anne was given an MBE for her services to business and gives talks in various countries, including New Zealand when she was on holiday. She's written 2 books, Growing Your Business and Starting Your Business, plus started the Dance Schools of the Year competition, of which she was a patron for 9 years. Anne is also patron of Devon Rape Crisis and Sexual Abuse Service, Tap Attack, and Daunton Young Dancer of the Year. She finished her talk with the following words. When you reach for the stars, you just get stars. But when you reach for heaven, you get the stars thrown in. A fantastic talk, which was followed by lots of questions from our members. Our meeting finished with the usual tea, coffee and biscuits.
The next one is called Images to Tickle the Funny Bone. There was something going on at Dawlish and Tynmouth Photograph Club last week. Each year, the club works towards a theme, culminating in a photographic competition. And for this season, the theme was Something Funny. The competition was open for interpretation, encouraging photographers to observe the quirky side of life. Participating photographers most definitely found humour in what they saw, celebrating the odd, unusual, and anything that made them laugh. Laughter was a great tonic as the photographs appeared on screen to be judged. The overall winner, as judged by Chairman Mark, was a most unusual photograph called Eco Travel by Andrew Thompson, followed by 3 runners-up and 3 third places, although all entries were worthy of a chuckle. You can see all the images in the Something Funny category on the club's website. The club meets once a week with occasional Zoom presentations held in the hall, giving members a choice of where to watch, enabling international members to participate, and allows the club to bring in speakers from around the world. Some of these pictures are actually in the paper here. The one called Eco Travel that we've just heard actually won is one of the old style minis. And I guess that its roof is open because there's lots of greenery appearing right out of the top, and it does look like it's just a moving garden. They have another one here which is actually a tortoise facing the lens of a camera, and underneath it says, "Do you like my smile?" with a question mark. And further down the page, there's a couple of older people sat in chairs, picnic chairs, and it looks like they're sat in the corner of a car park because they're actually sat on concrete. And right alongside them is a very big sign that says, "Lifeboat use only, keep clear." And underneath the heading says, "Too old to care." I think they really were just looking the other way. Right, unusually this time there were no letters in the paper, so I will move on to the obituaries. Right, Jocelyn Comer. She died peacefully at Torbay Hospital on 27th of March, and the service to celebrate Joyce's life will be held at Torquay Crematorium on Friday, 3rd of May at 11:30. Elizabeth Higham died peacefully at Glendale Court Care Home, Tynmouth, on the 28th of March, and her funeral will be held at St. James the Lesser Church, Tynmouth, on Wednesday, 24th of April, 2024, at 11:30. Ken Hudson, Kenneth David Hudson, some of you may remember he was a local GP for a long time. He passed away on the 6th of April at Torbay Hospital, and the funeral for Mr. Hudson, or Dr. Hudson, will be on Monday, 29th of April, at 11 a.m. at the Church of St. James, West Tynmouth. Welcome to our second team of readers.
Hi, I'm Mo Hutchings.
Hi, I'm Chris Brathwaite.
Welcome, Mo and Chris. Right, let's move on to the headline for the Tynmouth paper. Right, there's a picture on the front of a very derelict area, and it says underneath in big letters, "Hurry up." It's a plea to get on with the health centre. Health bosses have been urged to get on with building a vital health hub in the middle of Tynmouth. The Health and Wellbeing Centre was given the go-ahead by Teignbridge Council last year, and GPs say it is urgent. But NHS Devon says the project has been delayed by issues with planning, soaring costs, and uncertainty surrounding the future of the existing community hospital. Inflation has doubled the costs, and developers could be reluctant to start work if there is any risk that the plans could be overturned by government. No building work has started, and the council leader fired a broadside at the NHS Devon in an effort to kickstart it. Councillor Martin Wrigley urged the NHS to get on with it and get building. "It is desperately needed in Tynmouth," he said. The new £11 million facility in Brunswick Street will bring GPs, healthcare and voluntary sector services under one roof. The application has been controversial because it is happening alongside the proposed closure of the hospital. The NHS says community needs will be better served by the complex, but it has been referred to the government by objectors and Teignbridge Council. The authority owns land where existing buildings will be demolished, some already have by the picture, to make way for the three-storey centre to include consulting and treatment rooms, offices and a pandemic suite. They're obviously thinking that's going to happen again. We all hope not. The community hospital in Mill Lane is due to close, with its services moving to Dawlish Hospital and some into the new health centre. Comments came as members of Teignbridge Overview and Scrutiny Committee reviewed progress. Councillor Wrigley said the delay is inexplicable. I have been asking officers to find out what the impasse is, but we don't know until the NHS comes forward and explains. We have heard how urgent it is, but we are still waiting for the NHS to come forward. He suggested that the NHS may want to renegotiate the price. The NHS makes some really bizarre decisions about property services, so he said. I can assure you of that. My husband used to deal with them and he always said they didn't know whether they were coming or going. I can only assume that they are falling over themselves with internal bureaucracy. The land is agreed. The price is agreed. It is theirs for the taking. We just want a signature on a piece of paper. A spokesperson for NHS Devon said, our ambition was always to build a new health and wellbeing centre, bringing together GPs, health, care and voluntary services. We have been working with partners across primary care, secondary care and the voluntary sector for a number of years. The project has been delayed by a range of factors, including a protracted design development period, as well as the referral to the Secretary of State. Uncertainty makes delivering projects more difficult with developers and funders, and there is financial risk in proceeding with a multi-million pound project if the decision could be overturned. Costs for the project are now more than double the original estimate. This makes the project harder to deliver, and discussions about final financial arrangements continue. Watch this space.
Don't hold your breath.
No.
Right, my first article is headed, Grumpy Farmer Breathes New Life into Bar. The old workshop tap house bar at Higher Humber Farm near Bishop Stainton is to reopen at the end of the month under the new name of the Grumpy Farmer. Located in an old tractor barn, the pub, which is next to the former Red Rock microbrewery site, will reopen at 5 p.m. on Friday, April the 26th. The owners say the pub will offer a new range of food and drink options, served from a new bar and cellar system. Last month, a planning application was submitted for the building that used to house the Red Rock microbrewery at Higher Humber Farm to become an events venue for weddings and funerals. The owners hope the venue will complement the existing Humber barn, which is used for weddings, wakes, parties and local community events. The Red Rock Brewery relocated from its Higher Humber Farm site to Burlescombe near Tiverton last year.
Gaza demonstrators take over the Triangle. Tynemouth Triangle was awash with Palestinian flags on Saturday as demonstrators from across South Devon sought to raise awareness of the UK's involvement in the war in Gaza. Organised by Tynemouth Friends of Palestine, more than 100 protesters waved banners and placards calling for a ceasefire and an end to the UK arming Israel. Activist Dr. David Al-Halpin and Neymar, an Exeter University PhD student from Gaza, spoke of their experiences living and working in Palestine. Demonstrators held up names and photos of some of the thousands of children who have died in the conflict, and lit candles during a 2-minute silence to remember the dead. The event concluded with Palestinian music from band 47 Soul. The Palestinian flags blowing in the sea breeze, interspersed by those strolling on their holiday weekend, was a poignant reminder of those who are a victim of circumstance in Gaza today, commented Councillor Nina Jeffries. The photo shows protesters in Tynemouth Triangle with the speaker.
Youngsters clean up beach. Around 20 Tynemouth school children took time out from their Easter holidays for a beach clean on Friday the 12th of April. Pupils from Our Lady and St Patrick's Primary, OLSP, school were joined by parents, staff and members of the community for the beach blitz. The sun was shining and the children were very enthusiastic about finding the rubbish, said Faye Sendra, chair of the Friends of OLSP, which organised the event with help from councillors David Cox and Dan Comer. All the beach cleaners were rewarded with an ice cream donated by Jackman's Toy Box. And the school hopes to organise another beach clean in the summer holidays. There's a lovely picture of the kids armed with litter pickers and empty sacks. I hope they look as happy when they've finished and filled the sacks.
Here's an amusing headline. Penguins to cycle length of Britain. A vicar and a gardener from Sheldon, who have christened themselves the Peddling Penguins, are taking on an epic challenge to cycle from John O'Groats to Land's End next month. Sue Astbury, a priest working for the Archdeacon of Exeter, and Carla Field, a trained nurse and now a gardener, will begin the 1,130-mile route on the 1st of May. The intrepid duo hope to complete the route in 20 days to raise funds for Rowcroft Hospice. Despite only starting to cycle short distances during lockdown, Sue has wanted to tackle the route between the tip and the toe of Great Britain for many years. However, she didn't want to go alone. So while on a bike ride with friend Carla, she broached the topic. Carla didn't take a lot of persuading, laughs Sue. The last year has been spent training through every weather imaginable and poring over giant maps as they planned their adventure. They have decided not to take the traditional Land's End to John O'Groats route, which would mean the wind is at their back, but instead opted for the reverse option. It just feels like it's more downhill and we will be cycling towards home, Sue explains. The Peddling Penguins have set an ambitious £2,500 fundraising target for Rowcroft, a charity close to both their hearts, having already smashed their original £1,000 goal. You can pledge your support to their adventure via their Just Giving. And the photo shows Sue and Carla, all dressed up to the nines because of the cold weather, preparing to cycle.
Work to finally start on toilets. Visitors to Tynmouth won't have to cross their legs for much longer if they want to spend a penny in the resort. Work to build the long-awaited new public toilets is finally set to start next month. Bulldozers will start demolishing the former aquarium on the Upper Den carriageway in mid-May, ready for the new public conveniences to be built. The demolition phase will take 5 weeks. However, construction of the new toilets won't start until after the summer. The Town Council also plans to build new toilets on the Eastcliff car park this year, as well as refurbishing the toilets on Lower Brook Street. It aims to provide toilet facilities in all the main car parks and at each end of the seafront within the next 2 years. A replacement block on the Lower Point car park and by the Quay car park are scheduled for work next year. Each of the toilet blocks will include a disabled cubicle, with two cubicles planned for the den loos. On Lower Brook Street, there will be a larger changing places unit, including a hoist, shower and changing mat. Visitors to Tynmouth have been forced to use porter cabin toilets on the Den for the past 18 months after the old facilities under the old beachcomber were incorporated into the new Captain's Table, now Venus, restaurant. Planning permission for the temporary toilets was due to end last month, but extended for a year so new toilets could be built without inconveniencing visitors.
National recognition for Care Homes Group. A care home group that operates 5 homes in Teignbridge has been named as one of the top 20 in the UK by review website carehome.co.uk. Rose Care Group runs 4 homes in Newton Abbot and 1 in Bishopstone. Homes are judged on review score and rated on criteria including facilities, cleanliness, food and drink, staff, value for money, and how well they are treated. In receiving the Top 20 Care Home Award, we are not just recognised for our excellence in care, we are also celebrated for the dedication, compassion and tireless effort of our hardworking staff, said Group HR Administrator Laura Hodge. Rose Care Group's Teignbridge homes are Bishop Stainton House in Bishop Stainton and Donnerail, Southlands, St Bennet's Court and Walbrook Court in Newton Abbot. And the photograph shows the happy staff with a glass in their hands, celebrating their award.
Tynmouth Classical Music Festival. Wondering what to do in between the April showers? Fear not. A classical music festival returns later this month. The Tynmouth Classical Music Festival returns on April the 26th, 27th and 28th. Organised by Vive la Musique, the festival's fivefold aims are to make classical music accessible to all, draw on local talent, combine the skills of professional and amateur musicians, encourage participation from all ages and commission new work. This year's programme features a celebration of the 100th anniversary of the first BBC outside broadcast, when cellist Beatrice Harrison famously duetted with a nightingale, with Trio X, Alexandra Ennis violin, Hilary Boxer on cello and Alex Wilson on piano. There is also a collection of romantic music from Ekaterina Shetliff on the piano, Julia Northridge violin and guest clarinetist Raphael Hitchin, Spring Romance, the youthful Iska Voices, former girl choristers at Exeter Cathedral, choral evensong with the St. Peter's Singers of Exeter Cathedral, and the infectious enthusiasm of the Exeter Youth Orchestra. The festival will welcome an eclectic mix of performers at its signature mini recitals on the morning of Saturday, April the 27th. This will include local children and a wonderful soprano from Odessa, currently sheltering with her family from the war in Ukraine with hosts in Devon. All events are excellent value, with some being free. The variety of programming and the unexpected combinations of musical styles is set to delight and surprise once again. In addition to the public events, the festival has organised free concerts and singing sessions at Hazeldown, Our Lady at St Patrick and Tynmouth Community School.
Now here's some news about the Tynmouth and District U3A. We are very proud, says Jean Cox, of our various interest groups at Tynmouth and District U3A, and the wide-ranging and varied topics are illustrated no better than a week in the life of Tynmouth U3A. Friday began with the weekly Pilates group, stretching and gently moving. The group has plans for a 5-week beginner course this spring, which will feed into the weekly group. After previous outings, which included a boat trip on the River Exe and day out at the Royal Albert Memorial Museum in Exeter, the day trippers group met to plan the next day trip. Singing for Pleasure meet each week to sing songs together from a list of over 100 songs suggested by members of the group, all for pleasure with no performance pressures. Every Saturday morning, a group of enthusiastic walkers join Tynmouth Park Run and walk the course, aiming to increase fitness and improve on their individual park walk times. This particular Saturday, 23rd of March, our sea shanty group, known as One and All, were delighted to once again participate in the successful Cockwood Sea Shanty Festival, with two performances at two different venues, St. Paul's Church and the Atmospheric Railway Inn, singing and entertaining the audiences with their rendition of popular sea shanties. On Mondays, our popular Monday Movers group meet up in various locations to begin the week with a good walk and to set the week off to a good start, physically and mentally. The group now travel further afield for their walks, having already completed some of the many local walks. French for Fun also meet on a Monday to converse in French. The group have continued the learning and fun with a trip to Roscoff and have plans to visit St. Malo later in the year. Tuesday saw the fortnightly Strollers Medium Group walk the circular route beginning at Kent's Cavern, which includes Meadfoot Beach and the Bishop's Walk. Our short course Learning British Sign Language also met for their monthly instruction on BSL. The Dartmoor Way Challenge Group continued with the next leg in walking the Dartmoor Way from Peter Tavy to Tavistock, just a mere 7.6 miles. In the afternoon, the Yummy Group met for lunch at Smuggler's Inn, and there is a picture of that group looking very happy, sitting on a bench with a restorative cuppa in their hands. Activities continued on to Wednesday, when the fortnightly games group met up to play board games. The newly created table tennis group met up to play, and the monthly theology and philosophy group met for a discussion on the history of Tynmouth's many churches and places of worship. Our sea shanty crew met for their weekly sing-song, rehearsing old and learning new sea shanties. On Thursday, we held our monthly information and coffee morning for members at Tynmouth Rugby Club, where, as well as coffee and Easter eggs, we were entertained by a mini-seasonal quiz, as well as questions on Tynmouth U3A, organised by our chair, Pauline Dean. Once again, our Repairs Are Us group were in attendance to help members with any items needing repairing. In the afternoon, our Beginners Bridge group met for some tuition and fun, learning to play bridge. All in all, a very busy week in the life of Tynmouth and District U3A. For further details, please email information@tynmouthu3a.org.uk or look us up at www.tynmouthu3a.org.uk.
Now a report from Tynmouth Ladies Probus Club. What a treat Tynmouth Ladies Probus had when Viv Wilson came to tell us about her life and career. Viv, who is well known and held in great affection by many members, told us of her early childhood growing up in Exeter, the daughter of a grocer, and how music and hard work were formative influences on her life. Viv took us through her childhood memories, and with the aid of her lovely voice and skilled guitar playing, reminded us of her musical heroine, Doris Day. While keeping the books for the family business, which had by this time expanded considerably, Viv joined her aunt in the chorus of Tynmouth Operatic Society, and so began her Amdram career, a time that Viv describes as the most fun-filled of her life. Over the next few years, Viv met two people who would mentor her for many years to come, teaching her about drama, music, and life, and encouraging her to develop her musical talents. These talents she put to good use with Dawlish Operatic Society and as musical director for many productions at the Carlton Theatre. With the demise of the grocery business, Viv took a post with Dartmoor National Park, with responsibility for running the Guided Walks programme, which under her guidance became hugely successful and popular, both with the Dartmoor National Park and other organisations, such as the Caravan Club, for whom she organised outings for members staying at their Stover site. But after 12 years, Viv decided to go freelance, and in 1986 started doing slideshows at the Carlton, presenting her photographic work, showing places and things of interest in the area. When an elderly gentleman, Arthur Smith, showed her an Edwardian postcard of Tynmouth, her obsession with old Tynmouth was born, and 38 years later is still going strong, as are the links forged with Tynmouth Museum. Viv mentioned her fundraising efforts for Rowcroft, a charity dear to her heart, and her close involvement with the Alice Cross Centre, where she was manager for 5 years and still runs line dancing classes. She is a firm believer in the power of music to aid dementia, Alzheimer's and stroke recovery, and for many years took her guitar around local nursing homes, singing songs to the residents. At the funeral of one such resident, Viv was approached by a publisher and asked to produce a book of old Tynmouth images. And so in 1992, her first book, From Tynmouth with Love, arrived. Now, some 13 books later, Viv is the guardian of the Wilson Archive, comprising some 70,000 images, plus over 600 DVDs of shows and recordings, saved for posterity. Quite some legacy. This vivacious, talented, warm lady, for whom music forms the backbone of her life, continues to entertain, appearing in Cider with Rosie later this month at the Shaftesbury Theatre, and presenting her show at the Pavilions twice a year to sell out audiences. Viv concluded by singing the James Taylor song, You've Got a Friend, and giving us an amusing explanation of the meaning of life. Tynmouth is extremely lucky to have Viv Wilson as a resident, and Ladies Probus were delighted to have such an amusing and entertaining speaker. Ladies Probus meets on the second Wednesday of the month at Richard Newton Hall from 10 a.m. Next month's meeting is on the 8th of May, and the speaker is Ali Marshall from Tor Abbey Gardens. Visitors and new members are assured a warm welcome.
On the arts and events page, there's a wonderful, colourful picture of two people, Catherine Roberts and Sean Lakeman. They're described as being one of the UK's favourite folk duos. They will be performing at Pavilions Tynmouth on May the 6th. With a simple setup of guitar, piano and vocals, they present an evening of pure emotion with a variety of songs and stories based in tradition and presented in an intimate, friendly style. Tickets for the gig can be booked at the Pavilions or online at www.pavilionstynmouth.org.uk.
And now an article from the sports pages. Mayor attends club's open day. Saturday saw the President's opening day at the Den Bowling Club in Tynmouth, with almost all current members coming together for fun, friendship and a slap-up tea. It was lovely to see both retired members and new joiners. The weather was fine, and Tynmouth Mayor Councillor Joan Atkins kindly attended and bravely bowled the first wood of the season to great acclaim and applause to get the day off to a flying start. Following some light-hearted bowling to christen the green, everyone crammed into the newly refurbished clubhouse with its extended bar for refreshments and speeches. Trophies were presented to the winners of last season's internal competitions. Lawn bowls is a great sport, definitely not just for oldies. So why not give it a try? You will not find friendlier people anywhere. This year's open day is on Saturday, May the 11th at the Bowling Club. Please come along and have a try. You will love it.
Thank you, Mo and Chris. Before we finish, here are a few items that may be of interest to you. Tuesday, 23rd of April, Dawlish Community Transport will be going to Sidmouth. Details can be obtained by calling 01626 888890. Also on Tuesday the 23rd, being St. George's Day, there will be a cream tea at St. George's Church in Holcombe, and that all happens between 2 and 4 p.m. Monday 29th of April, the RNIB are giving a talk at Dawlish Library at 2 p.m. It will last approximately 30 minutes, and it is hoped that you might like to stay and join the book club for the visually impaired. Tuesday, 30th of April, Dawlish Community Transport will be visiting Ashburton and then going on to Dartmoor. Again, details can be obtained by calling 888890. Wednesday, 1st of May, Kenton WI will be meeting at the Victoria Hall at 7:15 p.m. for their annual general meeting. Finally, on Saturday, 4th of May, Holcombe Garden Society are holding a plant sale with coffee at a property called Ambergate in Cliff Road, Holcombe. Let's hope they have fine weather for that one. We are now coming to the end of this week's edition of Here and Now, recorded at our studio in Dawlish on Friday, 19th of April, 2024. We hope you have enjoyed the programme, which was brought to you by the Blue Team. Our readers today have been Nev Pope, Mo Hutchings and Chris Braithwaite. Copy and dispatch this week has been organised by Mo Hutchings. The programme was produced by Chris Wall here in Dawlish, and the team leader for today has been me, Fran Frank. The Here and Now recording, or rather the next Here and Now recording, will be on Friday, 26th of April, when it will be the turn of the Red Team to bring you the week's news. The Blue Team send you our very best wishes, and if you have a birthday or any other celebration during the next few days, we hope it all goes well and you are able to enjoy it. Until next time, look after yourself. So now it's goodbye from everyone in the Blue Team.
Goodbye.